Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and my sisters. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, March 17th, 2024. Now, hallelujah. I am Bishop Shalene Cook. I am called and sent by God. And I am joined by more wonderful servant leaders, hallelujah, in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, our anointed speaker of the hour, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Apostle Zeta Flowers. And then, hallelujah, we have our watchmen on the wall. We have our elders in the persons of Elder Lee and Terry Larson. We have our elder, my spiritual auntie Nita, in the house this morning. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. And we truly pray that not only that you will hear something to lift your spirits, we pray that you will truly hear something that will bless your soul and cause you to have an even closer walk with Jesus, so you might live the abundant life according to his design right now. So we are now going to go into prayer, opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the honor, grace, and glory. And thanking you for giving us another day to come together to worship and honor you, Heavenly Father. We lift up Bishop Carver as he delivers his message today. May it touch all our hearts. May it give us something to be able to live with through the week, Heavenly Father. And may someone out there who doesn't know Jesus in the pardon of this sin, may they come to know him and want to be their Savior today, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for this day, and we look forward to the message that Bishop Carver is going to deliver today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken head.
He has
the miracle.
To fix your
need.
What's
the trouble? Why'd you try?
about your situation. But with every test, it's every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. Oh, he'll set you free, yes he will. God, you promised me, said he would.
God can heal.
That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to feed your needs, go tell the Lord what you have received. Hallelujah. Mended my
reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask our beautiful and highly esteemed mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to you a meditational reading that is designed to give you food for thought throughout the week. Hallelujah. And she is reading from a powerful devotional written by Sister Sherry Crowell. It is the 365-day devotional of peace. So my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. that we all are able to be here and together on our another Sunday service. Thank you, Jesus. My meditational reading this morning is entitled A Family Resemblance. And my glasses are not helping me much. Hold on, babe. Let me turn a light on. Another light on. Again, family resemblance. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:8. Now, what characteristics distinguishes almost every family member by blood in your family? Some families are known for the shape of their faces, their clear blue eyes, their barrel chest, or their charcoal black head of hair. Members of other families may be identifiable by their laugh, their dance, or the way they say and use their hands when they're speaking. God's family also has a telltale characteristic, and the primary one is this: a member of God's family is known by his or her love, John 13:33. If someone claims to be a member of the family of God, yet doesn't demonstrate love toward others, that person clearly does not know the family patriarch, the God of love. Because God is love, each member of his family exhibits such telltale signs of love, compassion, joy, and peace. Do people see in your life the telltale Christian characteristics of peace and love? Prayer this morning says, Lord God, help me show others that I belong to your family by the way I love them, but by the way I love them. Amen. May God add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word.
Wow. Yeah. Yo, I go by the name of Mario Winey. The moment you've all been waiting for. Yeah, I bring to you my auntie, CC Winey. Yo, CC, drop that verse.
I know that you think you can pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get too much for you to take, and you feel like you're gonna break.
Hallelujah. And glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is the time that we come together and hallelujah with one heart, one mindset, one accord, one intent, and one purpose. And that is to bless God's people. That is, hallelujah, to make a difference for the kingdom of God. That is, so someone that doesn't know Jesus in the pardon of their sin might come to him. Hallelujah. Making him their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That we praise God this morning. So I just want you to know that when we pray here, we pray expecting and believing God to do exactly what he says he will do. Hallelujah. Because he is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a man that he should repent. Everything that God says he's going to do, he's already doing it, has done it, is doing it, and will continue to do it because he has declared and decreed it. Hallelujah. So right now I ask that you just clear your mind. Hallelujah. And focus. As we go to the throne of grace with God's anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. God bless you, Apostle Cook. We are going into prayer, going to the throne of grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you that prayed for me last week when I had, when my blood pressure was elevated, and it happened suddenly, and I just thank you for your prayers. Praise God. God has moved, and he has blessed me through faith, by faith, prayer, and natural things that he has given me to be able to take to lower my blood pressure, and I'm grateful and thankful for that this morning. So I just wanted to let you know that I did appreciate your prayers. Father God, we come to you this morning asking, Lord, for your forgiveness for anything that we may have done, unknowing or knowing, or if there's anything down inside of us that is displeasing to you, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for it, that you would surface it, and we will fix it with your help. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, and we thank you. We thank you. Father God, we come to you this morning lifting those up, Lord, that are hurting, lifting those up that are in need of a healing, those that need a miracle, we're lifting them up, Lord. Those that are hospitalized, those that have no hope, and those, Lord, that have fallen astray, we pray, Lord, that you will bring them back into the fold in the name of Jesus. We lift up the unsaved this morning, asking, Lord, that you would bless, that you will draw them by your spirit, that you will send out laborers, that they would be touched by you, that they will come to know you in the pardoning of their sins, in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift up those, Lord, that are confined, whether it be jails, juvenile halls, prisons. We pray, Lord, that there will be a release of your spirit upon them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, that they will look to you. We thank you for those that are saved in these places. We thank you, Lord, that they have come to know you, but many haven't. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus. Those that are coming in to minister to them, we pray, Lord, that they will minister, hallelujah, that they will touch the very hearts of those, Lord, that have been so wicked and have done so many cruel things that they feel that there is no hope for them. We know that you love them, and we pray, Lord, that they will feel your love, that they will feel your presence, hallelujah, that they will know, hallelujah, that they have been touched by you. And we pray for a great harvest, even in these areas, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those, Lord, that the war-torn victims, we pray for those, Lord, that have lost practically everything. We pray, Lord, that you will touch them, that they will know that there truly is a God in the name of Jesus, and that God is you, and that there is, hallelujah, hope for them. And we pray, Lord, for those that have been affected by natural disasters, tornadoes, floods, and all kinds of things that has disrupted their lives. We pray, Lord, that they will be touched, they will be helped, that they will be able to rebuild in the name of Jesus, but knowing that only by you they can. Praise you, Lord. We look to you, hallelujah, to be their help, to be their hope, to become their everything, to feel your love, to know that they are loved by you, to know what you did, hallelujah, on Calvary, that we could be redeemed, that we are redeemed, hallelujah, by the shedding of your blood. Help them to know and realize that in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, pray for the children that are being abused and neglected, not loved and not cared for in the way that they should by even those that are close to them. Pray for them. We lift them up, Lord, for you to touch in their lives, to bless them, to give them an understanding about who you are, that they may be taught early and that they will know of you, know about you, that they will have a relationship with you. Those, Lord, that are just suffering and even have brought suffering upon themselves, we pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Turn their lives around. Meet their needs. We lift up the unhoused today. We thank you, Lord, for the shelter that you're providing in so many areas. But we know that there needs to be more. So we pray, Lord, that you will open up more housing, more shelters, in the name of Jesus, that many people will be taken off the streets, those that don't know sometimes from day to day where they're going to lay their heads. We pray that you will be their provider in Jesus' name.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We pray that you will make a way. We know that you can, and we trust you. We believe you. We know what you will do. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So we're expecting all of these that we lift up today. We're expecting that they will be helped. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that they will know who you are. And Father God, we pray for those that are listening in today. We pray that as they hear your holy word, they will be touched, they will be blessed.
Lord.
Their spirits will be quickened. In the name of Jesus,
thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
We pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit upon all
Lord.
These ones
Please,
that will hear your voice. In the name of Jesus. If there's any among us today that are in need of a healing, hallelujah, that are listening in today, those that are part of Spirit Alive Ministries, hallelujah, other ministers. We lift up other churches, and we just trust you, hallelujah,
Lord,
to make a difference.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Yes, Lord. Only
we
you.
We lift up Spirit Alive Ministries. We thank
bless
you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray often for this ministry, not as a repetition, but just knowing that day to day we need your help. And
yes,
we ask, Lord,
yes,
that you
Lord.
Would continue to move in a mighty way.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir.
We pray
yes,
that you
sir.
Will continue to build up your leader over this ministry, Apostle Shirlene
bless
Cook.
You.
We
yes,
ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless. Hallelujah. That you will continue to send those, hallelujah,
my Lord, thank
to plug
you,
in
Jesus.
And to listen in on the broadcast and be blessed.
Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for it. We thank you and we praise
hallelujah,
you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
In Jesus' holy and righteous name, hallelujah. We know that there are those that are listening in. I know that one of my sisters is one of them. I pray for her this morning that you would touch Linda, that you would touch Anita, and anyone else, praise God, hallelujah, that you will heal their bodies in the name of Jesus.
I, yes,
and we trust you
Jesus.
To do so in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen and amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never did connected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Never know in your eyes.
rather be. Ooh, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hallelujah and glory to God. Beloved, it is now time for this morning's message. And we are blessed, yes. Hallelujah, to have the man of God coming forth this morning. Bishop Lester Carver is a man of God, and I believe he truly has a heart after God's own, because when he teaches, he always teaches the word of God, and he's always trying to point someone unto Jesus. Hallelujah. So right now, my brothers and sisters, if you have not retrieved your Bibles, please do so and give your undivided attention to our most beloved Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Before I get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for all of our sin and to pay for our physical wholeness and healing. God, I thank you for your word that you magnified above your name so that you can get glory and you can lead many to your son, Jesus Christ, so that they can make him their master. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that they receive after they make your son, Jesus Christ, their master, dwelling within them and empowering them to be able to do all that you've called them to do, to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth so that many can be drawn to you, Father. I thank you for the awesome relationship we have with you. I thank you for your presence in our life and through our life. And I thank you for you getting heaven out of us so that others can be drawn to you and your glory can be manifested to all men. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's teaching is going to be entitled Reconciliation 101. And it's interesting because in the body of Christ, when we're speaking about the Bible, there are a lot of big words that we use that we oftentimes don't understand, like propitiation, which simply means payment, or reconciliation, which means to bring something back to its rightful place, the place where it was originally designed to be. That's what it means to reconcile, is to bring something back to its rightful place. And our rightful place is to dwell in the midst of our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, to be right there in the presence of the throne of God. When God created Adam, Adam was designed to dwell in the presence of God. And before Adam sinned, that's exactly where he was. He was dwelling in the presence of God, and it was the Spirit within Adam that allowed him to be able to dwell in the presence of his Heavenly Father. Now, after Adam's sin, he was cast out of the garden. He was away from God. He no longer could dwell in the presence of God because the Spirit that was designed to allow him to dwell in the presence of God was no longer in him. It was away from and removed from him because of the fall of man through sin. Now, here's an interesting thing. If our rightful place is to dwell in the midst of our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, then God had to have a plan. And His plan was, hey, you know what? even though the devil sought to separate me from mankind whom I love, I have a plan, and I am going to use the seed of the woman in order to reconcile my people back to me. I am going to use the seed of the woman, speaking of his son, Jesus Christ, because we know that women don't have seed. The seed life comes from men. However, when God placed the seed life within Mary, she brought forth Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and he fulfilled the plan of God. 4,000 years after Adam messed things up, 4,000 years after Adam caused mankind to be separated from God in an ongoing basis. And so now, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us the same way that Adam had the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. So now we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy to help in the time of need. See, we are able to be fully empowered. I want to start today's teaching in the book of Psalm, verse 91, verse 1. And it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Now, see, people oftentimes read this and it sounds so high and so mighty and so distant, but really it is very real. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And for me, that place is when I am speaking in my heavenly prayer language. I am entering through the blood of God's son, Jesus Christ, directly before the throne of God. And Christ is behind me, and God is before me, and nothing can enter into that secret place of the Most High. That is where I am. And when you get to that place of relationship with God, then all of this stuff that we talk about is real. Now, it's interesting because when we look at what it says in the Word, when we look at what Jesus Christ had to say, I want to go to John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 is going to tell us a little bit about what is going on with all of this business, because somehow this separation from God is something that God, well, not somehow, we know that God is the only being in all creation that knows everything. He's omniscient. He is the only being in all creation that is all powerful. He is the only being in all creation that is present everywhere. Those are the characteristics of God. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. That is what defines the character of and nature of God. Well, this idea of reconciliation is that after having been separated from something that you were originally intended to dwell with and be a part of, now you have to be brought back to your original place that you were designed to be. I'll give you an example, and it's a practical example. I have two pens in front of me. One is a Pilot pen that I really love for sketching and whatnot. I'm an architect, so I love this pen. And then the other pen is a pen that I'm less likely to sketch with. It's a Bic pen, and it has, and they both have different caps, so that if I try to take the cap off of this Bic pen and put it on top of this Pilot pen, it's not going to fit because it's not designed to fit on top of the Pilot pen. However, if I take the pen from the Pilot pen and I put it on top of the Pilot pen, it fits perfectly and is not going to fall off. And the same is true. If I try to take this cap off of the Pilot pen and put it on the Bic pen, it's not going to fit. It's just going to fall off. It doesn't belong there, right? So now God is saying, there are those that I have called before the foundation of the world to be my children. And I knew in my foreknowledge, and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of my son, Jesus Christ. And I knew that they were going to say yes to making my son, Jesus Christ, their master. And God knew that because he knows everything. He knows the past, present, and future. He is the only being in all creation who knows the past, present, and future. And so, because God knew we were going to say yes to his son, Jesus Christ, as our master, then he said yes to us. And then those, and we would be like this pilot pen that I love so much to sketch with. And when Adam messed everything up, it was that place, that cap was removed from its rightful place, from the source of all of the ink and provision and skill. And yet now, because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, God was able to take and bring us rightful place of relationship so that now we can be connected. We can be reconnected. We can be put back into our original place. Now, it's one of those things where when we understand that, we can say, oh, God designed this. God called me before the foundations of the world. Now, look, here's the other thing. And he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. We need to know that. We need to believe that. We need to make that real in our life. Now, on the other hand, people would accuse God unjustly and say, oh, he's unrighteous. Oh, he's wrong. He's showing partiality. And really what's going on is God knew those who would reject his son, Jesus Christ, as their master. God knew who would take offense to the idea that his son, Jesus Christ, they would have to bow down to his son, Jesus Christ, as their master and Lord, and they would reject that payment for their sin. They would reject the idea of having to bow down to God's son in order to come into God's presence. And God knew that before the foundations of the world. And these other people, there is something they've been designed to be connected to, and that God knew they were going to reject Jesus Christ. And in that rejection, they have brought to themselves their own condemnation. And see, to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Now, for us, we have to be careful, though, because there was a mindset we had before we were saved. That mindset was me, myself, and I. It was all about us. It was all about our comfort. It was all about our glory. It was all about our satisfaction and our level of achievement and our level of satisfaction. And now our mindset has to change from me, myself, and I to them, they, and others. To you. I'm concerned about you. See, love goes beyond my own self-interest, and love all of a sudden becomes the standard because I want to do what I see my Heavenly Father doing. I want to go to this passage in John chapter 10 real quick so that we can see what Jesus Christ has to say about his, about God's plan, about his role in that plan, and about our rightful place, how we are going to be reconciled back to God. Before I go into this, I want to mention something about what God says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says that Jesus Christ gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. Now, the perfecting of the saints is for you to be transformed as you renew your mind to the word of God, as you repent. That word for repent in repentance is the Greek word metanoia, and it means that you would be transformed. You would change the ways of your life that would result from your acknowledgement of your spiritual conversion, something that happened within you when you received the Holy Spirit within you. You are now not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is you renewing your mind to the word of God, getting out of that me, myself, and I mindset and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then studying God's word, and then replacing what you think, what you feel, what you believe, what you've been taught with what the word of God actually says, and then doing what the word of God says. No matter what you've been taught, no matter what you believe, no matter what you feel, no matter what you've seen. And that level of transformation comes from us renewing our mind to the Word of God. And it says this in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it tells us, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. And be ye transformed by, and be not conformed to this world, be not circumstance conditioned, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God wants us to test his word, to prove his word in our lives, so that we can be transformed when we replace how we think it should be with how the Word of God says it is. Because how God says it is exactly as it is. There's so much that we think we understand that when we come into rightful relationship with God, we begin to know that we didn't have a clue.
Amen.
That level of humility allows us to walk into the truth. Look at what Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John chapter 10. And I'm going to read starting in verse 7. It says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus Christ said, have come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus Christ came so that we can have life more abundantly. And he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. That is what the devil has done. Through sin, the devil has caught the sheep and scattered them over 4,000 years. And now, even now, because of people being misled and not being instructed in the Word of God, the sheep have been scattered by those who have not shared the truth of the Word of God by what is written in the Word of God, but rather what men have decided they want to make the Word of God. Look at what it says in verse 14. Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and I am known, and my sheep know me. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Now, Jesus Christ, he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to Jewish men. And he is speaking here of the Gentiles. He says, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. He's speaking about us. This is before Calvary. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's actually speaking a great mystery here because people did not know or realize or understand that the Jews and Gentiles would be made one through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are one body, and he says it right here. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, not of the children of Israel. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me. God loves his Son, Jesus Christ, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. That's what Jesus Christ has to say about this. Now, we want to be careful that we say what Jesus Christ says in the Word and nothing else. Because you know what? That gives us a clear path. It gives us the authority to stand upon when people ask us, what right do we have to come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy to help in time of need? They tell us, yeah. I know who you are. I know where you're from. You're not about nothing. I know your daddy and your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy, and y'all ain't about nothing, right? And you know what? God, God rejects that because he paid for something else with the perfect blood of his son, Jesus Christ, for you to be all that he called you to be. You're not limited to what people think, to what people say, to what people believe, to what people observe, because until they've seen you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, they don't know you. They don't know you, and they really don't know you after you experience the reality of the transformation of what it means to be truly repentant, to really allow yourself to be transformed from that caterpillar to that butterfly by humbling yourself and submitting yourself to the Word of God long enough so that what the Word says can truly penetrate your heart, penetrate your mind, become your reality, and allow you to fly. Allow that thing that was only able to crawl to fly, to grow wings, to take flight on the air, and to glorify God by saying, hey, I'm not what you thought I was. You thought I was a furry worm. But when we truly repent, that's why repentance is such a great part of salvation. It is us coming into agreement with God about what he originally designed us to be. It is us coming upon this great, great writing device. I think there's a big difference between pilot and a big pen, but that's just me. I'm impartial. I use these pens all the time. And God says there's a difference between you and someone without the power of the Holy Spirit within them. And we as people, we have a hard time. We have a hard time with the idea that there's a difference, that there is more than and less than. But we know that Jesus Christ said, he said, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet of all time. He paved the way for Jesus Christ to come in. But he said, John the Baptist, he said, even he is less than the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's a hard thing to entertain.
Come on,
right?
He said it, though.
He barely gets into heaven. It's going to be greater than John the Baptist. We are not God, so we should stop trying to judge God because he says his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. We have to humble ourselves. At the same time, we don't want to limit ourselves. When God says, hey, what's available to you is the ability to come into and out of the holy city, into and out of the presence of God and the Lamb, which are the light of the holy city. And if you have the ability to do that in heaven, it means that you please God well here, you serve God well here, you trusted God well here, and you obey God well here. Whereas those who do just enough to get into heaven, they're going to be greater than John the Baptist, yes, but you know what? Their ability to go in and out of the holy city, not there. That's a hard way to live. You know how hard it is right now when you live in this five senses world in a category that is known as the middle or lower class? You can't just hop on a jet and go wherever you want and do whatever you want to do. That's kind of hard. We're dealing with that for 70 to 120 years here on earth. Just imagine going through that for eternity. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to be responsible for, teaching people who have access to so much more if you simply share with them exactly what the Word of God says? So today, what I'm going to share with you quickly is what you need to know to be able to bring others back to their rightful place in God, in relationship with God. And before I get into this real quick, I want to share with you a job that I had as a night auditor. I was the night auditor for a hotel, and I had to go in at midnight and reconcile the books for the lounge and the hotel and the restaurant, so that I could make sure that all the money that we said came in was exactly what was in to the penny. And I had to account for the business that was done by the lounge, the hotel, and the restaurant every night from 11 at night till 7 in the morning, so that when the accountants came in the morning, they could double-check the work and certify it. Well, this is one of the things that happens as it's another way of reconciling things. It's an accounting. And so when God accounts for our righteousness, he accounts for our righteousness, not by the things we do or don't do, but by our level of faith that we activate.
Come on.
By
yeah.
his word, trusting his
yeah.
word, by acting on his word, so that we prove his word and test it in our life. It makes us more confident. It makes us more effective as witnesses to others. And when others see us trusting in God and his word, they want to trust in God and his word. When others see God rewarding us openly, they want to be rewarded openly. They're like, hey, I didn't know I could have everything with simply obeying God in his word. I didn't know that was available to me until someone taught it to me or showed it to me, because we're living epistles. See, you are the word of God walking around in 3D that people can see. And people see you being rewarded by God openly. They said, maybe I want to pray secretly. Maybe I want to fast secretly. Maybe I want to do my good deeds secretly. Maybe I want to forgive openly so that God can reward me openly. Maybe I want to be a Christian instead of talking about being a Christian.
Come on, Bishop.
Yeah.
Come on, Bishop.
Yeah. Say that.
Be the example of the more than abundant life, spiritually first, then mentally, then emotionally, then physically, then financially. See, he didn't send his son to be beat to a pulp multiple times and nailed to a cross, to be speared in the side and thrown into a stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights for nothing. That was for your spiritual wholeness, where your sins would be paid for, and for your physical wholeness. The beatings came before the death, and that was for your physical wholeness, for you to be whole, healthy, strong, able to do what God has given you to do. And I'll tell you, there are times, and I'm not as old as many of the people I'm talking to. I'm 57, and I feel every one of those years right now. But I know that God is preparing me for more. He's preparing me for more, because you know what? I read somewhere in the Bible that Moses lived 120 years and had his strength when he climbed that mountain and saw into the promised land, even though he didn't go in. I heard that Sarah lived 120 years. And then I said to myself, maybe I can live 120 years. I know there are people who they live till they're 60, and then when they're 60, they start counting at one again. So if you ask them how old they are, they're one at 61, and then they're gone to 120. And I said, you know what? I think I might try that. Right. So now I'd like to take you to another level of this level of reconciliation thing. And I might need a little bit of time for this, because it is how you get other people to where God wants them to be. And it's so important that we know this. So look at Acts chapter 2. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 real quick, because this process of transformation doesn't happen all by itself. It doesn't happen on accident. It has to be intentional. We have to really be doing what we are saying we believe, so that God can get great glory. So look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the first thing that happened when mankind received the Holy Spirit, is that a sign, a supernatural sign of fire coming from heaven and dividing upon each one of the people present in that space. And so what was important about that sign was that men were now united through the Holy Spirit, and now they're speaking in divided tongues, but from one source, and when it first occurred, they're speaking at the same time. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. See, the Spirit gave them what to say, gave them the power, and they said it. So now there were observers. There was a crowd. They were looking at this. They observed it. It says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews. They were there for the Sabbath, celebration of the Sabbath. And it says, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galilean? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. They said they were drunk. Now, Peter, this opens the door for Peter. Remember, Peter, before he received the Holy Spirit, before the day of Pentecost, he was the one who denied Jesus Christ three times. He was the one hiding out, saying, hey, I don't know that guy, because he was afraid they were going to beat him too, maybe nail him to a cross. He said, you know what? I don't know this guy. But after the day of Pentecost, after he has the Holy Spirit within him, now Peter is transformed. He's transformed by the Holy Spirit. Remember that word metanoia that we used for repentance? That's what God is talking about. He's not talking about you saying I'm sorry or feeling sorrowful or whatever. He's saying, look, repent. Change from being powerless to being powerful.
Yes.
On the power of the Holy Spirit within you, and use it so I can get glory out of you now here on earth, because I'm going to draw many to me through you. So what it says here, Peter's first sermon after he receives the Holy Spirit, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only about the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 22.
Amen.
Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Now look at how bold Peter is. He's been transformed here. He's not the joker that was denying Christ before he received the Holy Spirit. But after he receives the Holy Spirit, I want you to hear the difference, because this is the level of transformation that God is asking for from us. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. This was what David said concerning Jesus Christ. Now look at what Peter says in verse 29. He says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. See, the patriarch David is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So he's explaining to them what they've observed. They're not observing a bunch of drunk men. They're observing God having poured out his Spirit on those who believed and obeyed and went to the holy city and waited.
Glory.
And so now, verse 34, it says, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. See, David said that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. See, God said to his son, Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, that doesn't sound like someone who's afraid. That doesn't sound like someone who's scared. That's why God always tells us, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Have no fear. I am not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power of love, of a sound mind. That is how we're to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. It's time for playing church is over. It's over. It's done. Look at what it says in verse 37 now. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. See that word metanoia, be transformed. Repent. Turn from me, myself, and I to now serving others, to serving God. Do what I have called you to do. He says, men, you know, they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, the gift is the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, this is such a powerful thing, but I want you to see the end of the story. I want you to see the fruit. I want you to see where it's going. It says the result of all this is that a vital church grows. It says in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they counted steadfastly, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs, miracles, and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among everyone as each had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, there was growth in the church because of their obedience. Now I want to look at one more. I want to look at two more passages here, and I hope we have a little bit of time, because after Peter told them to repent, to be transformed by renewing their mind to the Word of God, and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then things continue to grow in the church, and we look at what it says in Acts chapter 19, because there was a transition here. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 19. I'm going to go from verse 1 to verse 7 in Acts chapter 19, because now Paul is at Ephesus. And look at what it says here in Acts chapter 19. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. See, this is how teaching can get away. This is how incomplete teaching can have an effect, where people say, hey, I don't even know about a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What are you talking about? And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Now, you know what? This is powerful here, because if you go back to what it said in Acts chapter 2, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all men, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And so we know that when they speak in tongues and they prophesy here, this is a sign to them of them now seeing the overflow of their obedience and being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we see, oh, their salvation is not something they're guessing at. It's what they actually understand and they're experiencing. Now, before I get to this, this last point is very, very important, because there's that which looks righteous, and then there's that which is righteous. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 9. If you go to Romans chapter 9, it says here in verse 30, it says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness? Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. See, Jesus Christ was an offense. Jesus Christ was a stumbling block to the children of Israel, because they wanted to work their way into heaven. And we, when we want to do what we want our way, in spite of what the Word of God says, that's where we are. We're trying to work our way into heaven instead of obeying God and letting him transform us by obeying his word. So look at what it says in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 says, brethren, my heart, and this is continued. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, they're zealous for God, but not according to knowledge of his word. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness through works, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So God is telling you, I need you to believe in my son, Jesus Christ, because he fulfilled all the payment for your sin. His blood is powerful enough to pay for all your sin. Look at what Moses, it says in verse 5, it says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend heaven to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, now look at this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, those are absolute terms. Will be saved. Shall be saved. Wherever you read that, just do what it says before and after. And you don't have to guess about what maybe you might possibly be going. Because that isn't God's will for you, right? And it doesn't get God glory for us going around thinking we might someday possibly get into heaven, maybe if. God is faithful. You have to stand on that. And
when Come on, Bishop. That's right.
Our place is. So now verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now I'm going to do this backwards, right? Look at what it says. The things that we just read this morning that it says we must do to be saved is he that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It said those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord shall be saved. It said those who believe in our heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead will be saved. It said those who believe to speak in tongues and prophesy shall be saved. It said those who repent, who turn away from serving sin, and are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. You read those three passages of Scripture in Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39, in Acts chapter 19, 1 through 7, and in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, and you don't have to go around the rest of your life guessing about whether or not you're going to be in heaven or not, right? Now, here is the end of the matter. The end of the matter is in the end of chapter 10 here of Romans, and I'll complete this morning's teaching with this. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? See, we have been sent to be ministers of reconciliation. Every born-again believer is a minister of reconciliation. As I said earlier, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that Jesus sent some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is to reconcile the lost back, those who God called before the foundations of the world to be with him, to dwell with him in eternity. We are to go get those people and bring them back to their rightful place. Take that pilot pen cap and bring it back to where it belongs. And put it, connect it back to God, right? It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what I want you to get today. If we want to be able to reconcile the lost, we have to understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And the only way to please God is through faith, right? Faith. Look at what it says.
Yes.
But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound is going out into the earth, into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. See, we don't want to be disobedient and contrary to God. We want to have the faith that comes from hearing the word of God that allows our lives to be transformed as we are no longer conformed to this world, but we allow ourselves what we think, what we feel, what we believe, what we've been taught. When we allow the Word of God to replace all of that static in our life so that we can walk into the more than abundant life that Jesus Christ came and died and was risen from the dead for us to be able to have after we receive the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you having impacted someone today. I thank you for you having caused someone to give their life to you, knowing that you truly have a better plan for them than what they have seen so far.
Jesus.
Right now, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Apostle Cook, it's all yours, woman of God.
Amen and amen. And to God be the glory. We have heard the word this morning. We didn't hear any opinions this morning. I didn't hear any agenda in there except to lead somebody to Jesus. Hallelujah. So I praise God for you, man of God. You brought the word. You brought the truth. And I just want to thank you for being a true servant leader of God that brings the word as it is written and not as you, as somebody else has told us it should be or you might think it should be. So I just want to praise God for you. And at this time, we're going to call on the other half of this power couple. We're going to call on Pastor Vanessa, our dear sister, hallelujah, to come in and pray and seal this mighty message, hallelujah, because we are ministers of reconciliation. And I always ask Pastor to do this because, you know, she is, you know, she prays, she's gifted in the prophetic. And so when she prays, she's not always praying what we think we need to hear, but she is praying according to what the Spirit is telling her needs to be prayed. And that's what we need.
Yes.
We want people to be transformed. Ooh. We want people to know that Jesus is the only way, and prayer is our love language.
Yes.
And we got to get it right so we can do right. And we got to do right so more people that will come to the kingdom of God. So at this time, Pastor Vanessa, won't you come forth?
Thank you, Apostle Cook, and everyone else. And that message that was spoken, I just thank you, Bishop Carver, for that, because the word does not return void. And I just thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word, for us having the hearts and the minds to agree, just to agree with the word. Thank you, Lord, today for the level of truth and how it penetrates everything in our minds and in our hearts that is out of alignment with your word, that we submit to you and we submit to your word. And I thank you, Lord, today for understanding. I pray that those who are listening, that they gain understanding and that they be patient with the experiencing what they have, what they can apply based on what they do understand. I thank you, Lord, today that it will create right relationships, stronger bonds, Lord, with us, as well as how we treat one another and how we treat the call on our life that you have called us to, how we serve. That we always be mindful of it, that it is something that reminds us, because I know the word is active and it's alive. So I thank you, Lord, today that because it is active and alive, that we become in agreement with it right now, even in a place where we need certain things to be fleshed out. We need to study more. We need to pray when we read the word and understand it. So I thank you, Lord, today for those imparting understanding to our hearts where we are as it pertains to reconciliation. In the name of Jesus, with a place of peace, in a place of peace,
yes,
so that we can be able to produce fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, and thank you so
amen.
Much, Pastor Vanessa. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Well, you have indeed heard a word on this morning. Thank you, Jesus. It went forth. It was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So at this time, I'm going to ask my dear sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, to come forth, and she is going to, hallelujah, talk to those of you this morning who may not know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, but she's going to help you to change that this morning. She's going to help you to be reconciled, hallelujah, back to God through your faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. She wants you to be restored. We all want you to be restored. Hallelujah. Changed and transformed. So right now, please give your attention to Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Amen.
thank you. If we could close our eyes and bow our heads as we go home to the throne of grace and mercy. Lord God, we thank you for that spirit-filled message that we heard on today, and I pray that hearts were fully opened and that they received the message. I pray that Bishop Carver will be refilled with your Holy Word. We thank you for him pouring into us on today. Lord God, I ask that you just continue to replenish his heart and soul with your Holy Word, Father God. As he comes, he always gives an on-time message. Father God, we pray that someone who heard the message was moved by it and that they now want to give their lives to Christ Jesus and do his will, Father God. I ask that you just help them to understand that it's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It'll pay off in the end, Father God. We also ask for those that know you, Father God, and are coming back to you, Father God. We thank you for them as well, and we just continue to lift them up and lift you up, Father God. So if you heard the word and you want to give your life to Christ, please just repeat after me these words. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Because I have sinned and need forgiveness, I ask Jesus to come into my life. I am willing to change my direction, the direction of my life, by acknowledging him as my Lord and Savior. And by turning from my sinful ways, I thank you for giving me another chance, Father God. I thank you for the forgiveness and eternal life and hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, you are saved. Yes, it's that simple. Some think you have to go and just preach another sermon after the word has already been preached. But you don't have to do that. You just repent of your sins, and you're into the family of Christ. We pray now that you will find a Bible-based church and a spirit-filled overseer of the church that you find, that he or she will continue to teach you and lead you more closer in your walk with Jesus. We pray that the information that you receive by even the others that are a part of the church that you may join or congregation, they would also give you just the word and not their word, but only God's word. Praying now that you will continue to grow and build your relationship with Jesus Christ now and forevermore. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray and I ask it all. Amen and welcome home.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now it begins. Now it begins. Now it begins. Yes. Hallelujah. I need to tell somebody this morning that it is just not enough to say that on a certain day I said a sinner's prayer and I was saved. We have salvation is a process. Reconciliation is a process. Redemption is a process. We as believers, we cannot expect new converts to get the full measure of what repentance is when they just gave their lives to the Lord. They're just now beginning, hallelujah, to understand the things of God. So we have to know that this is an ongoing process. We are being moved from faith to faith and glory to glory. Hallelujah. It begins now. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. You have to live for him. That's why it's so important for you to study to show yourself approved. That's why it's so important, hallelujah, for you to get around people that truly know the Lord's word, that truly walk after God's ways, so that you will be empowered to live that abundant life that we've been called to live right now. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait. You heard what the bishop said?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We can have an abundant life right now. We can be full of faith. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We can go and talk to God himself.
That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah. We can be in his presence. So I just want you to know we do welcome you to the family. And it's going to be a work. But there are people that truly love you and truly love God and truly want you to be all that you can be in Christ Jesus. And let me say that part again, in Christ Jesus. Because you can't be nothing, you can't have nothing, you can't do nothing without Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, thanks to God. Hallelujah. We're almost out of here. But before we get out of here, hallelujah, we just want to praise God once again for our bishop, wonderful word, man of God. We just want to thank God. We just continue to thank God for you because as it has been said, you always bring the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what is needed because it is only the word of God. Hallelujah. That heals, that restores, that transforms. Thank you, Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, now let me tell you what's going on, what's going down here on the Spirit Alive Network this week. Hey, please join me tomorrow in the Roar Room because we're going to begin a study on prayer watches. Hallelujah. How many of you know that there are actually prayer watches? Hallelujah. And we will be praying, of course. But our Bible study will be on prayer watches, and that will be followed by our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. So meet me in the war room tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Spirit Alive Network. And on Tuesday, we will have the Mighty Man. You can listen to the Mighty Man of God at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with his Tuesday night teaching. Bishop Carver has been bringing some phenomenal teachings for over 13 years right here on the Spirit Alive Network. And we praise God for him. And then on Wednesday, you can hear our beautiful and our wonderful, sweet Apostle Zeta Flowers. I just love that lady. Hallelujah. On Wednesday night, you can listen to her at 6 p.m. Hallelujah, Pacific Standard Time for All Nations Bible Study. And Apostle Zeta will be teaching on. We're going to come on in with that redemption part 4 because we can't teach it enough. Hallelujah. And then on Saturday, you can join Minister Adam Tuggle at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the summit. Yes, we have something for everyone right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We want to thank each and every one of you that came out this morning. Hallelujah. We want to thank all of our Spirit Alive family, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Deacon William Isbell. We want to thank Evangelist Michelle, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Bishop Lester Carver, Minister Tina Brown. We want to thank our elders, Lee and Terry Larson. We want to thank I want to thank my Aunt Linda for being in the house. She's our elder. And I want to thank, hallelujah, Aunt Nita for being in the house, and she's an elder. I want to thank all these beautiful souls that were sitting up in here today because we can feel the Spirit of the Lord just moving from heart to heart and breath to breath. And, whoa, hallelujah, that's what worship is all about. Putting ourselves to the side, forgetting about ourselves, and just giving God all the honor and the glory and the praise. And hallelujah, and just praising him for his wonderful son, Jesus, who has given us access to all of that just through our faith. Thank you, Lord God. Now, at this time, if there be nothing else, we have Mother Mitchell bring the benediction, and I will dismiss you. Amen.
Amen. All the saints greet you, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all until we meet again. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Once again, we are so happy that you stopped by the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience this morning. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Have a beautiful and blessed rest of your day. To God be the glory. You are dismissed. Go in peace, and remember, God loves you, and so do we. For everyone sitting in the studio, your mics have been unmuted, so you can say, send out you some love this morning. I just want to say good morning, my Aunt Nita and my Aunt Linda. I love you so very much. Hallelujah. I just love you, Minister Tina and Evangelist Michelle. And, of course, I love you, dear Bishop. We just praise God for each and every one of you. I love you. We love you, Brother Lee and Sister Carrie. We love you all so very much. Have a beautiful and blessed week, everybody. Amen.
Love you
all. Have a blessed day.
Love you,
Carver.
God bless you all.
Love you. God bless you.
Love you.
Have a good day.
Wonderful message.
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Yes.
Bye-bye. Oh.